we have in Him.
Amen.
Oh, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. It's just so good to be able to worship the Lord and just let the fetters and chains falling off and just to be able to come into His presence with liberty. It's just priceless. Amen. Just want to now, so let everybody know that I had spoke to Brother Ben Beard a couple of times recently. He was trying to pick a time that we could get him to come and be with us, and his schedule's pretty full, but he had the 10th and 11th of June open, so we went ahead and had him to mark that on his calendar, so we look forward to that. So he would be with us. That'd be a Saturday night, Sunday morning, June 10th and 11th. Brother Ben is special to me. Just he's always told me many, many times, though I know it's true, he said he just always really feels like he's right at home with us. He really just has a special place in his heart for us, and I appreciate that. So just want to ask that you be praying about those services. And again, as Brother Daniel had mentioned, the Lord would guide us. The trustees and the work, all the work to be done, and it's right now it's still, you know, not the choicest of work to do, but yet in it there's something good about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I see the brothers shaking their head. You know, you look back from a disc and say, well, I don't know how that would be, but every day we do something more. It just takes a little bit closer to what we want it to be, and we're happy to be at the service of the Lord, trying to do something for the kingdom. I told Brother Ben and Brother Daniel, we was over here Wednesday working, and I said, you're probably wondering why we'd be doing this. I said, but when we sit down at that table on the other side, we look across the table at one another, you know that it's over with. No more battles. We look back at this and we'll know. Doing something for the kingdom of the Lord. Doing something, you say, it's for building. Well, it's for His people. Amen. So, we certainly want to be diligent and just ask that your prayers would be with us as we continue to move in the direction, do the things that we feel led to do with it. Be faithful stewards. Let's just open our Bibles now. We're going to read in Psalms chapter 27. So it's the same scriptures Brother Daniel read last weekend in part of his sermon. It's been on my heart. It's on his heart. I know, so, well, it's Brother Branham's rapture chapter, what he used for the chapter for his rapture text. So perhaps perhaps everywhere the Lord has got this scripture on his minister's heart to deliver. And so Psalms 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up on me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And let's read also from Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28. We have the luxury and the privilege to be able to put the scriptures up on the screen, but I really think Christians should also bring their Bibles. So even though we use the screen, it's good to hear the pages turning. A person needs to know their way through the scriptures. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so wonderful to be in your house this morning, and it's words cannot describe what it's like, Lord, to be in your presence with your people as we all come together in unity and the faith, to come into your presence to worship you, the only one that's worthy. Lord, and just to feel your presence and experience your presence among us and to feel it move around among us, Lord, as we worship you and just know that you're here to receive the worship of your people. It's just beyond words. And so, Lord, as we do come to you this morning, we just want to commit this time to you. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Just invite you to come now and speak to our hearts. And just have your way among us this morning. We surrender to you in every way this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seen, please. The Lord is good to us. I'm going to title this morning, Conditions at the Time of the Rapture, or World Conditions at the Time of the Rapture. So, Psalms chapter 27 is the, as I said, is the scripture that Brother Branham used when he was preaching the sermon, the rapture sermon. And it's kind of interesting, though, because if you listen to the rapture message, Brother Branham never got to his text.
Right.
He read this, but he didn't get to it. And all I can say is there has to be a reason why that it happened that way. Because, you know, God's in control, right? And Brother Branham said everything that he needed to say. I don't believe he's going to have to come back to say something else to get us ready. There are people who believe that. There's no scriptures to back that up. There are scriptures showing that they thought Elijah was going to be dropped back off on some mountain, and they thought, well, we'll go find him. And they went and found him not. And they're making the same mistake today. They think that spirit of Elijah, that he's going to come back in Brother Branham again, and it's not so. In that scripture, we know that the anointing had left Elijah and went on Elisha, which is a type of a church. And so in our day, that translates to the fact that the ministry that was on the prophet, not necessarily the prophet portion, but that ministry comes back upon the bride of Christ. And we know that there's no need for a return of Brother Brown to further us, that the Holy Spirit is now in his church, in his bride, and we'll move on and continue on what God wants. And so there has to be a reason why Brother Branham didn't get to his text. And incidentally, I was looking at it. I have it on my computer at home. I have a photo of Brother Branham's notes when he was preaching the rapture. And it's kind of interesting. You can sit there and you can look at it and you can listen to his sermons and you can follow him on his notes and see, you know, how he wrote his notes. And I started to print it out last night. I thought about printing it out so you could have a look at it. Doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying it was kind of interesting to be able to look at those notes and listen to him preach. And so, but there's a reason, has to be a reason why that in that sermon he never got to his actual text. And I believe there's a reason for that. We know that the rapture is only for the bride of Christ.
Right.
Right? The rapture is only for the bride of Christ, and Brother Branham also lets us know, and anybody that's a Christian that's got the Holy Ghost would know this, even without Brother Branham telling them, and that is that it's a revelation. To the bride, the rapture is a revelation, and he also says she'll be looking for that revelation. She's looking for that, and of course that's a believer's life. We're constantly looking for revelation from the Lord, and that's something we have need of. That's one thing we should pray for. We should pray for revelation. Ask God to lead us and guide us because, you know, when, you know, somebody can say, well, it's this, or somebody else can say it's that, or you might just read the scripture in this and read it. But when the Holy Spirit drops into your heart a revelation, now there's a supernatural element upon that truth that puts it in a category that no one can ever take that from you. Nobody will ever talk you out of it, because now there's a supernatural element to that that is dropped into your heart, and you know it's straight from God.
Yeah.
And, I think a lot of Christians know this, but I know ministers know this, how that when the Lord speaks to you and you know He has spoken and this is the direction you need to go. And we've had it, Brother Daniel shaking his head. He knows that when revelation strikes you, you know it.
That's right.
You know God has spoken and you know it's going to be thus and thus. And so to the bride, this rapture is a revelation. He knows how to speak to his wife, right? He knows how to speak to her and tell her the things that he wants her to know and nobody else to know it. He knows how to do that. So I believe that if whatever was laying there in this rapture message and in this text that Brother Branham used that he never actually got to, I believe that what we need from that, the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us through the message. Mm-hmm. We'll get it because it is a revelation. The rapture is a revelation. Now we know that the Holy Spirit's always positive.
That's right.
Right? And I look forward to the day that all we believers grow in God enough till we're always positive.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times we're not positive. And, you know, we live in a world where there's all kinds of battles and all kinds of trials and things you have to put up with that is adversity to us as Christians. But even with all that, even though you're going through a trial, it doesn't give us a freedom. It doesn't give us a freedom to not be Christians or to say, well, I'm having a bad day, so I don't have to act like a Christian or whatever. A Christian's a Christian 24/7.
That's right.
No matter what happens to them. And so the Holy Spirit's always positive, and I believe a Christian should always be positive. Mm-hmm. Even in hard times, we should always be positive. No matter what comes our way, a life surrendered to the Lord will always be positive.
That's right.
And so it's not saying you're not going to have trials and troubles. You will have them. But that's the thing. God is God because of who he is, the qualities that he has. And man is what he is because of qualities he don't have.
Yeah.
Right? But when God come down through salvation and saved his people, now there's an element of the presence of God in his people and among his people, and it sets them apart from everybody else. And so there's things they can endure with sound mind and with sound experience that others can't experience. Because why? They have the presence of God with them to help them through those things.
That's right.
It makes them kind of like him. So that's the way it works. So, we know the Holy Spirit's always positive, and the reason why he's always positive is because he's always in control.
Yeah.
You never look in the scriptures and you see the enemy has encamped around the city and they run to the prophet and they're out there. And you never see the prophet go, oh no, what are we going to do? You never hear the Lord saying, oh, I don't know what to do here. I was caught off guard. You never see that,
right?
Because God's never caught off guard.
Yeah.
He's always in control, and no matter what the enemy thinks he's going to put up and come in like a flood upon God's people, God's already standing there with a solution, always ready,
yeah.
Right? And if that's the way it is with God, and that's the way his program is, then the sooner that we can get into that channel, the sooner we'll always know that no matter what the enemy throws our way, God's in control.
Amen.
And we won't worry about it. It's like we talk about, you know, football players. We always in high school or in football, we always have our star player. We always say, if you can get the ball to him, we're going to get a touchdown. You get that to your best player, or when we was running races, relay races, we'd put our best runner for last because he could make up for all the lost time everybody else. And so that's the thing, is that no matter what the enemy sends our way, if we can just get the thing into God's hands,
right?
The sooner we get it there, then everything's fine because he's in control always. There's nothing going to catch him off guard. And so I believe the believer should be positive always too. We're not always, but Lord, help us.
Yes.
Help us to always be positive and always speak that which is right. And so, in order to do that, so when we look, we want to look through his eyes. When we process what we see and we think about things, we want to think with his thoughts. I don't want to think with my thoughts because they get me nowhere good.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? This is the whole Christian concept that is that we go out and he comes in. And so when he comes in, we see through his eyes and we think with his thoughts and we speak with his words.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we want most. And as soon as we can get to that place where we see through his eyes and think with his thoughts and speak with his words, he's got the ball in his hands.
Amen.
And a touchdown happening.
Amen.
That's the way it works. And that's the Christian desire. I don't want to be in control. I want it into his hands because I know when that's the best place for it. So when I look out, I want to look through his eyes and see the way he sees it. And when I think about the situation that's before me, I want to think of the way he thinks it.
Amen.
I want to think with thoughts that's in control, mm-hmm. not thoughts that are fearful.
Yeah.
And when I have to respond to what I see and what I'm understanding what's going on, when I have to respond, I want to respond with his response, not with mine. Mm-hmm. That's the way we want it to be. So when we look out and we see the conditions of the world out there today, we want to look with his eyes. We want to think with his thoughts. We want to speak with his words. And when we look out and see those things that are going on out there, we're not looking out there and seeing fearful things because God's in control. But what we look out there and see, realizing with his thoughts, we look out there and we see conditions ready for rapture. And so, now you see why I said conditions ready for rapture. That's what we want to look out there and see it that way.
Okay.
Now, if the conditions that are out there in the world right now were not what they were, what they are, we wouldn't be living in the day that we say we're living in.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I do not want to find out that we're living in a day that's not rapture day.
Yeah.
I have a desire. I want to see God move and settle this thing once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see another war that just for a temporary while something happens. I'm ready to see God settle this.
Yeah.
Once and for all. And so when we look out and see these conditions, we want to look out and say, you know what? It's right where God said it would be. Because if the conditions that we look at was not that way, then it would mean we were way back somewhere else and we're not ready quite yet. The rapture's not up upon us like we believe it is. But when we can look out and we can see that it's exactly what Scripture said would come, and this is what Brother Bram talks about in the rapture message. He starts right off the bat and said, we're warned of the Scriptures that in the last days there'll be scoffers. And we've got them. And he goes through examples. Scoffers, people tearing down the word and making it mean nothing. That it's no longer, that Moses didn't really cross the dry ground.
Right.
And all those things like that. So scoffers. And so we can look out and we can look at the prediction and the roadmap, and we can listen to the rapture sermon, and we can look at this, and we look out and we say, you know what? It's exactly the hour, the Scripture said, would be the hour when the body change comes, when the rapture comes.
Yeah.
We can look at that and see that. When we do that, we're looking through his eyes.
Amen.
And we're thinking through his thoughts. And instead of being fearful of what's coming upon the earth and our hearts failing for fear,
uh-huh.
It's not doing that. We're getting happy and rejoicing, and we're lifting up our head because we know our redemption draweth nigh. Why? Because we're in a place where the sin question settled.
Right.
And that's why we're not fearful. I realize in the flesh, it can be fearful. And in the flesh, we could try to make preparations for what we see coming. And I understand that. And I'm not trying to tell you not to. You know, look at the ants. The Scripture says, look how they do. They prepare and all the things. So do that. But that's not getting the ball into his hands.
Right.
Right? See, you can make preparations. I know I'm going to want to eat something come Wednesday. We go to the store today to make sure that come Wednesday I can eat.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But our salvation's not in that. Our deliverance is not in that.
That's
see?
Right.
And you might have 10 years worth of supplies, but our salvation's not in that, because that can disappear in 5 seconds.
That's right.
See? But we want to get to the place where what we truly have our hearts content upon, that what we're truly looking at, is something that can never be tampered with, that Satan can't take away from us, that man can't take away from us, and that's where we put all our focus upon. Doesn't mean we're not going to work each day. Doesn't mean we're not planting a garden. Doesn't mean we're not trying to improve the church building. We're doing all that, but that's not where the salvation is. That's not where our confidence is. Our confidence is this promise that he's told us will be with us in this hour that he said would come and is now here.
Amen.
That's what we're looking at. Because this hour is certainly here, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Not just scoffers, but people's hearts are failing for fear.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how fearful people are. And in ourselves, like I said, in ourselves, we get concerned about what we hear. We get concerned about the news and all that. But saints, that's not where we want to dwell. We want to get over into the channel where we're seeing through his eyes and thinking with his thoughts and responding the way he would want us to respond. So if the conditions weren't what they are, it would be a different day. So it's supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be like it is right now. And the things that we endure between now and rapture, body change, they're things that he said would come. And it's supposed to be. Because if they didn't, we wouldn't be at that spot. I don't want to keep repeating that, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. So it's supposed to be this way. I believe this is why Brother Branham chose this portion of the text. There's a lot of places he could have chose. But for a rapture text, he chose Psalms 27.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about that. And I think I've kind of went through this once or twice before, but we're going to talk about it again.
Right.
Okay, so I believe this is why Brother Branham, because there's promises laying right here in this.
That's right.
He's telling us what's to come, but yet, while it comes, he's telling us exactly what the believer is to expect when these times come. Exactly. And so, because as we read in the scriptures there, we said the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light. Because it's going to be a dark time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a dark time. And in a dark time, a dark hour, a dark situation, you can't navigate. You don't know where you're walking. You don't know which way you're headed. You don't know what to do. And if there's evil determined upon you, you don't know how to get away from it. And there's all kinds of evils in the dark. You see what I'm saying? So it's a dark hour. He's promised right there in the scriptures, right here at the conditions at the time of the rapture, it's going to be a dark hour, but not to you.
That's right.
Because the Lord is your light.
Amen.
So your connection with the Lord means that while everybody else is groping around in darkness and they don't know what to do, you've got light, because like it was in Egypt, light in Goshen, where everybody else had darkness such that they could feel it.
That's right.
Now, I don't know what that means, but it don't sound very good to me. Doesn't sound very good to me to be in a situation where it's so dark that you can feel it. You know what I'm saying? You close your eyes and you can feel it. Matter of fact, you could open your eyes and it was no different. Close, open, whatever. It was so dark. I may have said this before, but I always thought it'd be interesting that if we were there at Goshen and it was light in Goshen, you could step like this over out of Goshen, be total darkness. You stick your head out in the light. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God could do that. And I'm saying that to illustrate the fact that there's such a difference between a believer that's got a connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when everything's going chaotic, but you've got a connection, you've got light, and everybody else is in darkness. It's all the difference in the world. You can have darkness and you're afraid to move. I was in my building the other night, and I plugged something in, and it tripped the breaker because it's a ground fault. And here I am. You know, how do you get, which way you go, you know? I had my phone, so I was able to get a little bit of light so I could see how to move around, get to the door. But I don't want to walk in darkness.
No.
And so it's a dark hour. He promised, he said right here it'd be a dark hour, and yet during that dark hour, the Lord is our light.
That's right.
Amen. So he said it would be a dark hour, and we would need light. And guess what? There's a man here who can turn on the light.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope I don't this isn't misunderstood, but in this dark denominational hour, where there was no way to see which way to go, God sent a man from Kentucky. There was a man here that could turn on the light. The Lord Jesus Christ making his appearance in a man who had a gift and something from God that he could turn on the light and help us begin to see the direction we need to go. And so there was a man here that could turn on the light named William Branham, because Christ was in him doing that. And now that same man, Jesus Christ, is here in his bride. He in us can turn on the light.
Right.
So we don't have an excuse for walking in darkness. Because that same ministry that was in him is now in us. And no matter what comes our way, we don't want to get fearful, but even though that lays in the flesh, we want to get over quickly to see it through his eyes and begin to realize that we can turn on the light to every situation that comes along.
Yep.
Now I'm going to ask you something. Did Brother Branham tell us that at the end, that ministry of Christ and ministry of the bride would be one and the same? Did he not say it?
Yep.
Okay, did anything come Jesus' way that he didn't know what to do? And he couldn't handle.
No.
Then what about us?
Yeah.
If the scripture says that God was going to set in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting until we come to that full measure of the stature of Christ. So if we come to that full measure, Christ is here and we're here because now we become one with him, then can the devil throw something at us that we can't handle?
No.
You see what I'm saying? Now in ourselves we can't, but if we can get the ball in his hands,
right,
then anything that comes our way, we can handle it.
Amen.
Not that it's us, but the Christ in us can handle these things. Why? Because there's a man here that can turn on the light, and that man lives in me and he lives in you.
Amen.
And he's here manifesting himself through us. And the sooner we can learn that this is the way it works, no matter what happens, I'm going to just pull right over in here into this revelation, and Christ is going to address this situation before me, not me.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. So, there's a man here that can turn on the light. Why? Because it's going to be a dark hour, and the Lord is our light.
Yeah.
He said it would be a time where the Lord would be our salvation. Why? Because there's enemies who want to come and destroy us. And we need someone to save us from our enemies.
Yeah.
The thing that Satan wants to do to the bride in this hour, and we won't have it in ourselves. We can't fight this off ourselves. We need salvation from the Lord. We need him to come mightily and move upon these situations that are coming our way as we enter into this time of rapture where Satan thinks he's going to buckle it all down and get it all under his control. That's when God said he'll come here and he will be our salvation. He will move on behalf of his people and deliver us from these enemies.
Amen.
He will. He's promised to. We're looking at it. During this time of rapture condition, he promised to do this, that he would save us. You know, science advances in ways just like, you know, we understand that. They advance in things kind of like that. And you know how it is right now. You can be in the battlefield and you can be sitting right there and it may just be a few guys and you can have a whole army gathered before you and surround you. And there's a little group of people right there all surrounded, and in themselves they'd say, I don't know what we're going to do. We're surrounded. We're outnumbered. There's no way that we can do anything to stop this enemy that has gathered around us. But they got this little bitty thing called a radio. A little bitty prayer box.
Come on.
And they get on that little prayer box.
Uh-huh.
And they speak into this prayer box and they say, here's what our condition is. This is where I'm at, and we're out here doing what you sent us to do. And here's what's happening. And we're all surrounded and we're outnumbered and we can't do this ourselves.
Yeah, come on.
And that little prayer box, that little radio sends that signal out somewhere. And next thing you know, there comes in an airstrike from the heavens.
Amen.
And power from on high comes down and obliterates that enemy all around. You see what I'm saying? It's not designed for us to fight this ourselves.
Come on.
It's designed, this whole thing, this whole rapture, it's not for us to sit and go, I wonder how I'm going to do it. I've thought about it. You know, what's going to be on rapture morning? Am I going to get up and I'm going to pray and get in the spirit? Or what is it? What's going to happen that day? See, how's it going to work? Well, God has a way for it to work, but it won't be the way I think it's going to work necessarily, right? But it'll be the way He said it'll be in His Word. He'll carry it out the way He said He would, as we're looking at here in the Scriptures. So, it'll be a time of salvation, and God said He'd come, and He would be our salvation. So we can expect airstrikes if we get on the prayer box. If we call back to headquarters, if we call back and talk to the one who sent us here to fight this battle, and we let them know we need support.
Yeah.
I can't do this myself, but I need support. Then He'll send in that power and that airstrike, that power from on high, and take care of the situation and level the thing in front of you.
Yeah.
Even David talked about it in the 23rd Psalms. Right? Prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God has promised to take care of us even if our enemies are all around us and got us hemmed in. He's promised to take care of us.
Yeah.
So it's He promised He would be our salvation. So the Lord is our light and our salvation. Him shall we fear. The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? You know, God has always been the strength of His people. It's never been that the people were strong. He even told Israel, I didn't pick you because you were some great nation. As a matter of fact, you're one of the little ones. Little bitty group. So God has always been the strength of His people. He says, when the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came up upon to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And notice this is past tense. When my enemies did this, they stumbled, past tense, and fell, past tense. So there's a past, present, and future here in this. And if we know that God has done it in the past, then He'll do it today, and He'll also do it in the future because you're His people. So we have confidence to know that as we see the Lord do things in the past, He'll do it also in the future. And so, there will be, in this time of rapture, this condition of rapture, there will be a rise of the wicked.
Yeah.
We can say amen to that. That's exactly what it's been. But did you notice there, this wicked, this rise in the wicked is also your foe. Because
yeah.
You can have the world full of wickedness, and if they have no bone to pick with you, they're not your foe. But David even says it here, this wicked, even my foes. There's a rise, there's an increase in that. So here's the rapture chapter, and he's trying to tell us the condition, what to expect. But while you see all this stuff that looks like enemies coming your way and foes coming your way, you've got promises here that God is going to take care of you in this hour. Because he's coming down to the showdown,
right,
where God is going to finish it. He is going to settle it. He already has, but you understand what I mean. He's going to bring this body change like we're looking for. So there will be a rise of the wicked who is our foes against us, contrary to the gospel, and wants to do us harm, wants to tell you that you can't worship God this way. You can't believe God in the truth of all His Word. They don't want that. See? So there will be a rise in them. There will be, in this hour, a host that encamps around the bride. There will be, no doubt. And I'm saying will be, there is. But I'm using it from the standpoint that this is what he said will be, and it shall be, and it is. There are enemies rising up. They are gathering around the bride of Christ. They're putting laws here in place and doing this and doing that and teaching this in the schools and getting the mindset of the next generation off over here. They're doing all this stuff. Well, they're gathering around, getting ready where they can make an attack.
Yeah.
So he said this would be the case. But though a host shall gather around me, though that war would rise up against the bride, which it will and it has.
Yeah.
But he said, in this, I'll be confident.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Right.
Even though all this happens, I'll be confident. Amen?
Amen?
Why? Because we've seen it happen, and we know he'll do it again, and we've seen that he told us the hour that would come, and here it is. And the same scriptures that said it'd be thus and thus also tells us that he'd take care of us. So while the world is being swept away with whatever gadget and whatever idea and whatever song and whatever dress code and whatever, when they're swept away and all the fallen humanity, we're not swept away in it, are we? Not supposed to be. And I'll say this, a believer who is connected to the Holy Spirit has a walk with God, a prayer life, a scripture life. They won't be. They won't be. Lord, help us to be good stewards and faithful. So, though war rises up against us, we'll be confident. This is what I'm trying to get to. He told us it was going to be rough. He told us that the bride of Christ is going to be singled out and that the enemies of the world are going to be our foes and they're coming after us. Why? Because there's only two powers. It's God and the devil. And the devil has the masses, but God has his people. And so he told us it was coming. This is happening. And don't let it, when it comes to your front door someday. I mean, eventually something's going to happen. And so when it comes, when you're confronted with this, where it brings it right down to the Word, and Satan's at your front door to tell you, I'm here to destroy your life because of the Word you're standing for. When it comes to that point, don't go, oh, what am I going to do? The Holy Spirit's always positive, because when you're looking through His, then when Satan shows up at your door and says that to you, you can back up and say, praise God, there's fixing to be a major happening right here.
Yeah.
Because God has put me where I'm at. I'm serving Him. I'm on this battlefield for Him. And this enemy has come to challenge God.
Yeah, right.
And because you've come this day to challenge, see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to suffer at the hand of God.
Yeah.
Not vengeance and not that, not trying to be arrogant, but it's God who's being fought against here. And when we stand for His Word and Satan comes against that, then it's God's battle. And we just have to learn to step back and don't be fearful with saying, it's in your hands, Lord. You deal with it. I'm giving it to you. I'm not trying to be shirk any responsibility, but I'm just putting the ball in your hands. I'm going to let you run this touchdown, Lord. Because
yeah.
You're our best. You're our best performer, our best player. You're the captain of the team. And that's why we give it to you, Lord. So there will, he said, there will. This stuff will come. And it will come to your doorstep eventually.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm not telling you the future. But I understand the rules of this game. I see how this works. Not a game, but the rules of this, the way this battle works. And I know the enemy wants to stop you from believing God's word. Or if he can't stop you from believing it, stop you from manifesting it.
Yep.
That's what he's after. Because we by no means, Satan by no means wants you to influence somebody else
right.
in a godly direction. And that's what's trying to stop. And so we know that's what's going on. So the hour we live in is what it said it would be. But in all this, we're going to be confident. Amen? In all this, with all this going on, we're going to be confident. Why? Because we know we're walking with the Lord. We're where he called us to be. We know we're not believing in some man's doctrine. We know it's thus saith the Lord that we're trying to follow. to the best that we know. We're trying to follow this truth. Yeah, we make mistakes. We have all kinds of things. There's blood, the blood of Jesus Christ there to deal with where we fall short. But we're God's people, and our desire is to follow His Word to every part of it, to every jot and every tittle, to follow that. And it's the enemy who's decided he don't want us doing that. And so we'll be confident because the Lord has said He would take care of us. So we go on to find out in the scripture, He says, let me find it here. Verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple." So as we're in this rapture hour and all this is going on and all these enemies rising up and we see them building strength into the flesh, it makes you fearful. But we pull over into the channel to believe God's word and believe His promises that He will take care of us in this time. And we're going by the text right here. We're telling you right by the text of what He said He would do in this hour, how this rapture would come. There would be a rapture first in our thinking, in our revelation, in our walk and where we stand. It'll be a revelation that keeps us. As we go through here, we'll cover more of it. But that's the rapture starts like that. But eventually it comes to a physical manifestation in your flesh.
Yeah.
But we've got to be raptured first in our experience, in our spirit, and in the Holy Spirit first, spiritually. Before it'll manifest in her flesh, because that's the way it works. It works in the spirit and then into the flesh. So, while this is all going on, while there's all kinds of enemies, and if you just listen to the flesh, you'd get all worried about it. While all that's going on, there's one thing we should be desiring. We just read it. One thing that I desire. There's one thing that we should desire and one thing that we should be seeking after. Now, if you need a new pickup truck or a new car, it's okay to go seek out to find one. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
We live in this world, but there's one thing that we should desire, the believers should desire. I might need a new truck. I might need a new house. I might need a new job or whatever. That's fine, but that's not what I'm talking about. There's one thing that we should desire, and that's to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. As a wife, a bride is to her husband, there's one thing that should be on her mind, and that's Him. Yeah. You know, that's the way it is when you're fixing to get married. A young lady's going to get married, and her mind's upon that. Consumed 24/7. This is the way it should be. And even right after they're married, 24/7, her mind is consumed, and so is his. So, the bride of Christ, her whole being should be caught up in the vortex of this wedding that's going on and this invisible union that's going on. She should be just caught up in that. Why? Because He is. He's all caught up in it. He loves you.
Right.
He wants you by His side. You see what I'm saying? And so, there's one thing that we should desire, and that one thing is the thing we should be seeking after. And that is to Him. And as we do seek after Him, have that right desire, the correct desire, and we seek after the right thing, it results in what David said. And that is that we could dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Or of all the days of our life. Desiring to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. That's a result of having the right desire and seeking after the right thing in this hour. The result is that you get to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. That's talking about now before your body change. You get to dwell in the house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? The body of Christ.
Right, yeah.
The church. Yeah. You get to dwell in the house of the Lord. And if you're in the house of the Lord, who's in there? The Lord.
Right.
So then the next thing is there. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Because if you're in the house that He lives in, you get to see Him on a daily basis.
Right.
To view the beauty and behold the beauty of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so, in this hour, seeking after the right thing and chasing after the right thing, this is what it results in. You get to dwell in the house of the Lord. You get to have a daily communication, a daily visitation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what happens when a man and woman get married? Don't they live together? Every day they live in the same home. So here we are, we find out that in this hour where all these enemies and everything's going to rise up, he's promised that us that if we're seeking after the right thing, if we desire the one thing we should and we seek after that, then it's going to make sure that we get to dwell in the house of the Lord all the time we're here until our body changes. We're dwelling with him and we get to behold the beauty of the Lord in his temple. Yep. Right? It's what it says. And we get to inquire in his temple. And you know what? The word inquire means to ask, but there's another portion of the definition I like even better, and that is to make a formal investigation.
Yeah.
So we get to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. We get to behold the Lord, and we get to be able to come before him and make a formal investigation, a formal inquiry. And so while we're here in this world and we have things coming on and enemies rise up and want to destroy us, we have the ability to walk right up into the presence of the King who we see on a daily basis, walk right up there and make an official inquiry about this enemy out here that's trying to cause me trouble. I can have an audience with him, is what it's saying. I can have an audience with God where he will speak to me. I can give to him my case, and he will answer back.
Right.
He will address this. And what you see happening here, when this happens, it's playing out the life of Esther.
Right.
Because Esther had the power to come. She had the position in the kingdom, and she was the only one in the kingdom that had this position. She could come before the king anytime she wanted, but she didn't realize it. She had, and it took circumstances, it took enemies and great things taking place that would cause great harm. It took that kind of stressful situation, that kind of stress upon her to put her in desperation, where in desperation she went into the presence of the king thinking that he would accept her, thinking that the blood hadn't truly given her position where she could come and get this audience. And as soon as she walked in there, well, the king loved her. And he reaches out his scepter her. In other words, what I'm saying is she had an audience with him, and she could come and say, you know what? This situation out here, I need it dealt with.
Uh-huh.
And he would answer. And he dealt with it. Even if it looked like a situation where the king could not back up his word, and he won't back up his word, but you realize, I think that was a great story. I was telling a guy at work the other day. I rehearsed this story to the guy at work the other day. He's amazed that the Bible had stuff like that in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, it's funny, and here's Haman. I said, hey, Haman, he's like, the king's like, who are we going to, how would we bless a man that we want to bless? And Haman thinks it's going to be him, you know. And it's really his enemy, Mordecai. And so Haman has to walk Mordecai through the city. You know how humiliating? And I was telling him all about that. But see, this is the story. Esther was the queen.
Yep.
But she had to start thinking like a queen.
That's right.
She had to start come to the place where she realized, I can go to the king and I can ask him. There's got to be a reason why in the scriptures that the king would say, what do you need even to the half of my kingdom?
Right.
That's a position that belongs to the wife.
Yeah, right.
And so he come and, what do you need? Even to the half of my kingdom, I'll give you whatever.
Yeah.
Why? Because she had that position. She didn't have to come in there crawling on broken glass or nothing like that to try and get him to be merciful to her. Brother Ram said she's not going to go through a tribulation to be purified. She's already found favor in his sight.
Right.
She can already come to his presence and ask what she will, and he will answer her. But she's got to believe that enough to come to him in that way.
Yeah.
So when he says, we have the right desire and to seek after the right thing, that we can. If we do this, that I can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I can dwell with him in his temple, be in his body, be in the church, be in this baptized group of believers, be in that body and have a daily visual contact with him who is the Word. doesn't mean that you open your eyes and you see a figure of a man standing there before you with nail-scarred hands. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about the beauty of the revelation of Jesus Christ among us, working and doing the things among us that has brought us to where we are now as believers in a world that rejects His Word. That's the beauty of the Lord. This is a beautiful thing we're looking at here. And to inquire and see that and ask Him questions and have Him speak back to you and bring before Him these troubles and have Him issue the king's command on your behalf. That's what David said in this hour. His brother Brandon was using this for rapture. And I believe this is why he used it for rapture text. Because this is exactly what's before us. And this is exactly the promise we have in this hour. To be able to see Him daily and have a communication and have Him send out His decree on our behalf. Remember, He's in us. He's a revelation. He's a revelation that has come forth in this hour, and He's in us and He's alive, and we are the manifestation of Him. So we as believers, as the bride of Christ, we can in ourselves, we can inquire. Because we're in the temple, we are the temple, He is in us, we're in Him. He said, you'll be in me and I'll be in you. How's that? Makes sense now, don't it? Because we're in Christ and we're in this tabernacle, we are the tabernacle, and we're in that tabernacle and He's in that tabernacle. Yeah. So He's in us and we're in Him.
That's right.
And He said, in that day, you can ask what you will, right?
That's right.
Think about it. And that's this day. Because God's not going to let this thing go and this world, everything system come to the end and His people be snuffed out like nothing.
Right.
We have to realize that God is granting to us a privilege to walk with Him and to have access to things that previous ages didn't have access to as a whole, as a whole group of believers. Because in this hour, this is the first hour that sufficient revelation of Word has been given and that a people has embraced and believed a sufficient portion of that Word that it can be said that they have embraced Christ Jesus in His fullness.
Yeah.
But now there's a people where He's revealed Himself in the fullness. She's believed it in the fullness. And that puts her in a class called the bride.
Yeah.
And the rapture is only for her. That puts her in a position where all the other members of the bride in previous ages are resurrected because of the position she steps into here as we live. This is what's happening. And this is the condition, he said. This is the privileges and promises we have while these conditions come on the scene. Now, if we're looking through our eyes, we don't see this grand opportunity. If we're looking through our eyes, we see fearful things, and we're worried about this and worried about that, and what are they going to do to the president, how this, and what's going to happen over there in North Korea and all that. And, you know, I look at those things, I think, but I know where it lays. It's not that. It's in that Word.
Yeah.
See? It is. It's in that Word. And that's where we want to find ourselves, seeking after the truth, seeking after that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he told us that this would be an hour that would be rough. It'd be a time of trouble. But in that time of trouble, he will hide us in his pavilion. You know, I've said it many times. Says, Lord, I thank you because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent. To hide something is a deliberate act.
Yep.
If I got something sitting up here and I don't want you to see it, I deliberately take that and I stick it somewhere, hide it somewhere, and you don't know where it is. And if you don't know where it is, you don't have access to it. You don't know what it is. You don't know all the benefits that come with it because it's been hid from you.
Yep.
And so he says here, he will hide us in his pavilion. And you know, pavilion, I looked it up, and you know, pavilion, you know, a lot of times you'll have a house or whatever, but they'll have a pavilion. And the definition said a pavilion is a place that has been constructed for a specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like to take it from that standpoint. You know, you have to walk treacherously when you use definitions, but when the definition meets the word, I use it. If it don't meet the word, I throw it out. And you could say that's hypocritical. I don't, because we're supposed to agree with the word, and anything agrees with the word, we say amen to. And if it's contrary to the word, we throw it out.
Right.
So when I pick up something, I say, you know what? That agrees with that. I use it.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I have not one worry about doing that.
Right.
Because I believe God will say, well done. To reject things that are contrary. And so it's a place, a special place that's been built by him. And careful what you think about that, because you're thinking against him.
Yeah.
If it's his word. But it's a special place built for a special purpose. And it's a secret. He will put us in his pavilion.
Yeah.
So it's his place, a place he's built. And so apparently the purpose he built this place was for you, because it's a specific place for a specific purpose. And he's going to take you in this time of trouble, and he's going to put you over in this pavilion. He's going to stick you over there in a place that he's created for you from before the foundation world. He's going to put you in that spot that he created specifically for you. And he's going to hide you in there. He's going to purposely put you in a spot where nobody else can come there. Nobody else knows where you're at and what's going on with it. They can't get to you because you've been stuck in his, over in his pavilion, in a secret place over there. And so he said, he will hide us in his pavilion, put us in this secret place, right? Yeah. Then it goes on and says, in the secret of his tabernacle. His tabernacle, there's a secret to it. The world can say whatever they want, but they're not beholding him. They're not in his tabernacle. They don't even see his tabernacle. Because their idea of him is some denominational mindset. They do not look at him and see the word. And if they don't see the word, they certainly don't see the tabernacle that the word dwells in. That's why they rejected a prophet, because the word was dwelling in a tabernacle that was expressing God. They have to reject it because they don't see the word. They don't see the man.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see the word. They don't see the bride.
Yeah.
So they can't see it. But inside that tabernacle, we're beholding the Lord, his beauty, communicating with him, have access to him like Esther had access.
Yep.
We have a position with him that nobody else has. I know that sounds arrogant, but I'm telling you what the word is saying.
Yep.
Okay? I'm just expounding on it. And as Brother Bram said, take the high points and let the ministers break it down. I'm bringing it out and trying to show you that the scriptures is telling you he's got a place for you. In a time of trouble, he's going to stick you there, and he'll keep you. And you might still be walking here on this earth, and you might still be in this flesh, but you're in that secret place.
Yep.
You're in that tabernacle. You're in that pavilion. And you just keep walking there, keep staying there, and he will take care and do everything like he said. He shall set me up upon a rock. Remember the other day we talked about how that the word is a rock, is the foundation to build upon. So here's this hour where the enemy wants to cast out of his mouth a flood, and this flood's going to sweep over the earth, and anybody that's not built upon the word is going to be carried away in that flood. But he shall set me up upon a rock.
That's right.
He shall give me a revelation that will hold me in this hour. Right? That's what he said. He shall do that. He shall set me up upon a rock, which would be his word. He will lift up our heads above our enemies. In other words, the way I see this is there's coming an hour when God's going to go and come down, and he's going to touch his bride, and he's going to supernaturally lift her up above everything else, every other enemy. He's going to show his favor among his people and lift her up above all that trouble, above all those enemies. And perhaps some of those enemies will see this. I don't know how much they're going to see. But you understand, he will lift us up and elevate us, promote us to a position higher than them.
Yeah.
And if we're in a position higher than them, they can't get to us. And this is the promises we have in this rapture text. And I hope, I pray, I beg, or whatever, that you take this with you and remember this. That no matter what, if you consider yourself a Christian, which I believe you do, I trust you do, I pray that you do, but if you believe yourself to be a Christian, that no matter what comes, I don't care what it is, When that hour comes upon you of trouble, you think of this.
Amen.
And you say, God, I'm standing in a position where you put me. If you hadn't have called me and told me the things you would do, I'd be somewhere else. But you've given me instruction. I see it. And I've positioned myself in my life differently than what I would have been if I hadn't. And I'm standing here where I believe you put me. And now this enemy has come before me. You understand what to do?
Yeah.
Okay? He's promised to do this. So he'll elevate us up supernaturally. And I said a while ago, it's past, present, and future. And if you look at it, you know, I said the enemies, they did this. They came, they stumbled, they fell. This is what happened, past tense. But now he says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So it's all shall, future tense, okay? But one more thing before we close on that. In this time of trouble, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to go over here and we're going to do... No, in this time of trouble, he... This is something he does.
Yeah.
You don't know how to get there. You don't know how to have a body change. You don't know how to defeat the enemies. But he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. He shall do this.
Yeah.
Right? He shall do this. So I said, well, I go, well, what's it going to be like on rapture morning? How's this going to work or whatever? Well, I'll tell you what. What are you going to do on rapture morning? What are you going to do differently that's going to make the body change happen that morning? What are you going to do when you get up that morning? What are you going to do differently that's going to make it happen? Nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to do that day just like you should be doing every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to do that.
Right.
All you got to do is have the right desire and seek after the right thing. And if you're desiring the right thing and seeking after the right thing, the results of that is that you get to be in the tabernacle all the days of your life, behold the Lord, inquire, you're in a daily communication, and when that morning comes, guess what you're doing? You're in that tabernacle. You're looking at the Lord. You're talking to him. Right?
Yep.
You're doing that day the same thing you do any other day. And I quote Brother Ram said, when the rapture comes, it'll be easy because they believe in such. But remember, that's only for her. Only for the bride. And it'll be easy for her. Why? Because she's already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. She's already viewing him, beholding him as on a daily basis. So come rapture morning, we do what we normally do. We worship the Lord.
Right.
And so David goes on to say, he said, therefore, will I offer up sacrifices. Therefore, in his tabernacle, I'll sing praises to him. Right? Therefore, when I come to realize that he's got me hid away in this place, I'm in Christ, I'm in here, I'm in there, I'm looking at him, I'm fellowshiping, he speaks to me, I see him take care of my enemies, and I'm here. I know. It's just like when, like I said, when a man and woman are married, they know they're married. They know that they've entered into that covenant with each other. And so you know you're here. And so David says, therefore, knowing these things, I'm paraphrasing, but knowing that even though these enemies arise and all these things are happening, I'll come confident. Because in these times and these things, just like God's always done it in the past, he'll always do it in the future. He'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. Because of all that, I see that God has elevated me into a place where he keeps me. And I'm not being taken by this storm and by this flood. He's got me up on a rock. And because I see that, I just can't do nothing else but sing praises to him.
Amen.
So like Paul said, I've come to the place to realize that if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
No height or depth or any creature, I don't care what it is. None of those things can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And we've come to realize that. As I was talking to Aunt Mary this morning, and I said, most of us, We don't look at the end of our days on this earth and like we should from the Word. We typically go, oh, you know, this is a day we don't want to look forward to. But if you really look at it through the eyes of the Word and realize that God, nothing can take you from this earth until God's done with you. And if God's done with you on this earth, there's nothing else for you to do, even if you think there's things you need to do. Because that's what I told her. I'd like, well, there's some things I'd like to take care of, and you know, and I'd like to see this or that or whatever. But in reality, if God takes us today, that means we're done here. And there's nothing else that I can want to do that need to be done, because he's the one in control and he knows. So when he says it's time, and when he says that rapture morning is upon us and it's time, brother, sister, we don't have to fret about nothing. We just have to be in fellowship with him. And when he says it's time to take his spirit from the earth, he has to take us because we're in him.
Right.
It's real simple. And there's not any kind of extra prayer, extra fasting, any more sincerity, not any more than you should be doing anyway, right? It's not works that's going to get you anyway, but it's just the fact that God has ushered you into a place where you're in his presence and you just live with him daily. You know, when I get ready to go on vacation, it's natural, just inherently, if I'm going on vacation, my wife is going with me, right? When he gets ready to go, It's the way it is. It's not a decision. It's just there. When he goes, she has to go. And so we just want to make sure that we have the right desire and that we're seeking after the right thing. And results in that we are in that secret place being protected and kept. So when everybody else sees that there are fearful signs in the heaven and this moon and the stars and their hearts failing for fear, we're not. The other night when the storm's coming through, what you going to do? They're telling you tornadoes bearing down on you and stuff. What are you going to do? Get the ball in his hands. And my wife will tell you, I usually go walk out on the porch. You know what I do? I go out on the porch and I go out there and I sing praises. And I thank him for keeping me safe. I thank him for keeping our brothers and sisters safe. I ask him to keep us safe, and I thank him, and I sing praises. Walk out on the other night, wind roaring and stuff flying everywhere. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. And you realize there ain't no power out there to overcome us unless God wants it to.
Yep.
And if he allows something to come our way, it's because he's got something else better. That our lives go down a pathway. I know this is where the rubber meets the road to be able to say that whatever God chooses for us, we got to commit to it. But we're going down a pathway, and if God says we got to go this direction, brother, sister, you don't want to go some other direction.
Right.
I was thinking, my wife and I, when we had Joseph, I was praying this morning, it came to my mind, we had Joseph, and that was a rough time for us. But even in rough times, God's always in control, and God will always be glorified in all those situations if you'll just leave it in his hands. And I remember that there were people who would come to the house, and there were people who went away and said this. They said, we went to their house to try and be a blessing to them in their time of trouble. And when we went away, we were the ones blessed. No matter what happens, God can be glorified if we have the right attitude and we see it through his eyes. God will work wonders. He might not lift your situation. He might. But he'll always be glorified. And any time the Lord's lifted up, men are drawn. Right? He said so. I be lifted up, I'll draw men. And you know he's not going to draw every last person because they're not all predestined. But when the Lord is lifted up to where others can see him, when he can manifest something in your life that's above and beyond normal humanity, and they can look at that and say, God was with them people. God was with that man or with that woman. When they can see that, that that goes out, and there's a drawing power, there's a testimony, there's something that sweeps out there, and that's doing something for somebody to draw them at some point. That'll play part in their experience to draw them anytime, God. Because God doesn't do things that's wasteful. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste efforts and things. When he does something, there's a purpose to it. And if he expresses something through your life, it'll go out and speak to somebody. You may never know who it is until we get to the side, but it will get something. God will be glorified in it somehow.
Yeah.
But sometimes those pathways require us to go through things that are rough, hard trials. But that's the way it works. And you know what? For the believer, they're happy. You know, if the Lord says, yeah, I need you to go this route. I know you don't want to go this route, but I need you to because this is my will. Then a believer, if we're submitting, we say, Lord, not thy will, not my will, but thy will. And this is what Jesus did. So no matter what the Lord directs and he wants us to go, if we can submit to him, and this is what we're talking about, because a bride, Brother Ram said, he will not pick one who disagrees with him because there will be continually a fuss. But she says, amen. The word. So in ourselves, we might say, man, I wish we had I wish we was in a church with 1,000 people. There'd be all this fellowship and all these things. But if God says, but that's not where I'm putting you. I'm going to put you right here because I need you here. Then we say, amen. That's the way I feel about it. And so I now believe, like in our church situation here in the building and stuff, I believe we've had an honest and pure desire to say, Lord, your will be done. And I'm confident with that. I have no reservations whatsoever on that. Amen. So, supposed to be the way it is now. Amen?
Yeah.
But he promised he would keep you. So what do you do? What do you got to do for this rapture? All you got to do is desire after him, seek after him, fellowship with him daily in his tabernacle. Behold him, the revelation of his word. Amen. Inquire. Go to him. Talk to him. Walk up before him and say, Lord, I'm in prayer this morning. And just for this prayer this morning, just for a moment, you can call me Esther. And I'm here on behalf of this situation. That's what you do. By faith, we subdue kingdoms. Right? By faith, just like all the rest of them, this is the way we do these things. Right? By faith in his word and what he's promised us. May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come. Do you love him?
Amen.
Do you believe that by the revealed word, you have rapture already in you? I do. Or else we'd be somewhere else. We'd be somewhere else, believing something else, feeding on something else in some other church or something like that. And you know, once you've come and tasted of the Lord, how can you go somewhere else? You can't. You'll be miserable. You know, Brother Branham in one place or something. Yeah, go on back. But see, you know what? He knows. They go back there. If you say, go ahead, Brother Tony, you used to go down here to this restaurant and eat. Go ahead, go back. And I go back there and I don't find anything I like, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to find somewhere where I get fed.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. So may the Lord just richly bless each one of you. We'll pray. Sing some songs of worship this morning, this afternoon now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for such a wonderful word that you've sent in this hour that we can draw from, the strength that we can get. Has substance to it, Lord. It's not just milk, but it's the meat that the eagles need. And you have said in your word that where this carcass is, this fresh kill, this is where the eagles are gathered. Lord, we're so thankful. I pray, God, that you help us and keep us attentive to your word. Keep us feeding upon this carcass of the word of this day that you've delivered to us, Lord. And give us the strength that in our wings that they would develop, and the strength that we need in our wings, Lord, it would allow us to have the ability that when that time comes, Lord, our submission to you, and Lord, we'll just rise up in faith and fellowship with you. Leave this world. Ask God that you keep us in these days as these things come. Just help us to always remember you've promised to keep us as your people. We love you, Lord. And I ask God, that you'd help each one, give each one strength, give each one traveling mercies. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
Jehovah Jireh.
Like to be blessed of the Lord like that.
Sure.
So you can't can't even contain it. And if we'll always put God first and put Him out front, you'll always be blessed.
Yep.
Financially, spiritually, physically, you will always walk in a position that the rest of the world is not in.
Yep.
If you'll always put God first.
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Lift Him up.